Good morning, everyone. Good morning, brother. Welcome to Thomas Village. If you're visiting, if you're not visiting, you're welcome anyway. You're an old timer. Several announcements to be made. February the 22nd, that's 4 weeks away, we're going to have high attendance Sunday. Says 22nd. Well, that's going to be on a Saturday. Brother Brian will be preaching. Brother Brian will be preaching on Saturday and Sunday. Because he gave me the note. Okay, correction. Standing to be corrected, always. You know us men are, anyway. February the 23rd, about 4 weeks away, we will be having high attendance Sunday. That means you can start today in inviting grocery store, invite people to church. Your family and friends, invite them to church. If they don't come, it's not on you, it's on them. But remember our slogan for this year, our church slogan is, be one, be a Christian. Act like and look like and talk like and walk like a Christian. And to win one. Win one to either be a disciple or a teacher, attendee of church or a church member. But work on winning one to the Lord. If everybody in here wins one person to the Lord, by next year we won't have enough seats for everybody. So, amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Abraham. Lincoln. But the goal is 100 in attendance in Sunday school, 200 in church. So, you need to invite. Wherever you go, invite someone. All they can say is no. But the adult class with the highest attendance in Sunday school, above the average, will win a prize. So get out into the highways and the byways and compel them, is what God's word says. Compel them to come to the supper, to the wedding, to the church. Same goes for the worms class, the children's class on Sunday. But other announcements, we're to focus and being at church, and we're here for a reason. And the question the pastor wanted me to ask you is, what do you bring to the worship service? Do you bring God? Was He already with you? Or are you coming here to find God? Or are you coming to find the Lord? Or are you coming to maybe know the Lord in salvation? Or are you coming to maybe be baptized? Or are you coming to join the church? I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But what are you bringing to worship? Also, if you see out in the foyer area on the table, there's a sign-up sheet there for a class for carrying concealed weapons. And there's not a date on there because we don't have a date set yet. But it will be probably a four-session class. And one of those sessions will be using the firearm, teaching you how to do it safely and whatever. But you can, male or female, you're welcome to come to the class. And if you have friends or family that are interested in coming, they're welcome as well. It'll probably be a $30 or $40 fee. We're not sure, depending on how many come, I guess. And but we will announce a date. We need at least 10. And a while ago, there were 11 on the list. So you can sign up for it if you're interested in getting a permit to carry a weapon. Also, there will be a deacon's meeting tonight, not tonight, but tomorrow night, in the pastor's office at 7 o'clock for the deacons and yoke fellows. That's all the announcements I have. Is there any other announcements from anyone in the church? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for this day and for our service, and pray for those that are sick. There's many, many, many on our list of sickness, illnesses, and it just seems like it grows day by day. We hear of someone else who has a terminal illness or just sickness, and our pastor's been sick this week, but he's had a good nurse and a good housewife, and so she's brought him through it with the Lord's help and with medication. And pastor said, I don't usually take all my medication, but buddy, I'm taking all of it this time. But anyway, we're thankful that he's doing better, and many others in our church family that are sick and hurting. Just remember those this week, and when you go out, you'll get probably a lengthy prayer list. Please pray for those. Don't take it and hide it under a basket. That's what Jesus said not to do with our salvation. Put it like upon a hill, where, like a lamp upon a stand where people can hear and see it. Don't hide the prayer list. Put it at the refrigerator. That's probably, if you're like me, that's a place you go often. So put it there where you can see it and remember to pray for those people. Everyone on that list is important. No one's not any more important than the other, but they're all important, or we wouldn't have put them on the list. But we need to lift each other up in prayer. And to add to that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for this day. Father God, we just come thanking You that You brought us together as a body. You tell us in Your word, in Paul's writing, that there's many parts to a body. There's fingers and toes and hearts and head and eyes and hands and feet. And all that, Lord, leads to a church. We're made up of many parts. Nobody is any more important than the other, but we're all important. And we just thank you, Lord, that you brought us together with your Holy Spirit and with Christ being the head of the church and the pastor being our shepherd. And Father, we just pray for those that are on the prayer list that are sick and hurting, some in the hospitals. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. Lord, those that have lost loved ones even this week. We pray for many that have terminal illnesses. Unless you heal their body, they're coming to you. And Father, that's what you tell us in your word. It's once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. Father, we just thank you so much for our family, our church family, our pastor, his family, our deacons, our yoke fellows, all those that serve you in whatever capacity in the church. It takes many people to bring church. And we just ask you, Lord, as we come today, we challenged you, our members, myself, what do we bring to worship? Is it to come and absorb and sit and listen? Or is it to be changed? If you come today to be changed, I pray the message that the pastor has will change you, that you'll never be the same, that you'll look different, you'll walk different, you'll talk different, and you'll be different because you know Jesus Christ. And we just thank you so much for our choir, and we thank you, Lord, for Sister Nancy, who can't be here today, Brother Rick, Sister Nancy's sick, our pianist, and we just ask, Lord, that you touch her body in a special way, and if it be your will, heal her. And we just thank you so much for our choir and our choir leader, Brother Ken. And most of all, we just thank you for being our Savior and our Lord and giving your life for us, for a sinner like me, that you go and die for me and pay the price I couldn't pay, for a debt that I owed, but you paid the price, and we thank you for it. We ask you to be with us and continue to be with us through the service. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir sound good this morning?
Amen.
Well, since Nancy's not going to be here today to lead us in our piano playing, you all here get a chance to sound just as good as the choir did here. So we're going to stand and sing number 7, so everybody's going to have to get them a hymnal because we don't have Rick to put the words up there. And we're going to sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Choir and I are going to lead you in it. One got it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing
teach
Thank you, Lord, for the health that we have to come out today and remember those whose health has failed them. Be with each one of them, Lord. As we come to give back to you, I just pray as always, Lord, that we'll use this and we'll be pleasing to you. For it in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. If y'all were here last Sunday, y'all recognize that I forgot Sister Nancy's name, and now she ain't coming back. So from now on, it's going to be Sister Pianist and Brother Song Leader. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's good to see all of you today. So glad that you're able to come out. I know for some of you it's the first time you've been able to come back due to chance and issues in life. I know some of you have went back to the normalcy or what can be called the normalcy of life. And others of you, praise God, you're back in spite of me. So thank God for that. But I do want to just remind you that February the 23rd, as you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is it 23rd or 22nd? 23rd. All right. The Sunday that falls on the early 20s. We're going to be having high attendance Sunday school Sunday. And this is a part of our B1 Win 1, Make a Difference. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take, as you turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. What we're going to do is we're going to take your overall average. And whoever gets above, the greatest above that, we're going to give you some kind of prize. We don't know what it is yet. But we're going to give you some kind of prize. And also, If you've noticed, I've not been shaking your hands lately on Sunday mornings. Number one, no, you don't want me shaking your hands today, number one. And number two, we've been having a new members class. Basically, you could call it a new members class or what we believe at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And so whether you're a member or not a member, whether you've been here for years or not, you come to that class. We've got a booklet that we go through. We have a good time talking. But I think also there's some things that you can learn, not only just about Thomas Village, but about the church as a whole and how important the local church is in the scheme of God's plan to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. Amen? So we meet in there at 10 o'clock. And as you can tell, I'm already breathing hard. And so as you turn to 1 Thessalonians, why does 1 Corinthians? Because I'm teaching on it Sunday nights. That's why. As you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to just ask, does anyone have a word of praise or a word of testimony today that you might like to give the Lord? Yes, sir. Amen. With no medal in your back. Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? Just to say that the Lord's been good to me. Amen. 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 If you got the notion. uh, All right, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, in honor of the Lord's Word this morning. And instead of asking you to touch anybody, I'm going to ask you to turn to somebody around you and tell them you love them and it's good to see them today. All right? You can get out your chair and go tell them, but you don't have to touch them. All right? I also want to thank Brother Paul for being on short notice Wednesday night for teaching for me and being there for me. I'm thankful to have the deacons that God has surrounded me with. But this morning I want us to read from chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to focus mainly on verses 1 through 7, and then once again on verse 12, but we're going to read through the whole 12 verses because I want you to see the love that Paul has for the body of Christ between verses 8 and 11. He talks to them about as a loving father and as a loving mother. And that's the way that the pastor and the deacon should view the church, that they are a part of our family. And that you'll notice that he says, not only did I invest time, but I invest myself into it. And praise God, it is a privilege for me to be your pastor, and it's a privilege for these men to be your deacons, and we enjoy investing our time in your lives when you need us anyway. All right, let's read it. Amen. See there already. She's ready. He's ready to go. For yourselves, brethren, know our interest in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we spake, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse caresseth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. We are witnesses, and God's also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy of God who has given you unto his kingdom and his glory. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come to you this morning, Lord, just confessing to you my weakness. Heavenly Father, Lord, just the unsteadiness in my flesh physically today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you, Holy Spirit. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and be in our midst and give us wisdom and understanding. I ask you, God, to send your angels and encamp them around this place. Lord, let us lift up your name and worship you in a way that we never have before. God, it's about you today. It's not about us. It's not about anything we can do, but it's all about who you are and what you've done. Lord, I pray that you be with us. I pray for those who can't be here today. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me and to fulfill me with your Spirit. And Lord, let this word change our hearts, change us from the inside out, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, I pray right now that you let our minds stay focused. Lord, we know that we're feeble-minded, and at times it takes just the least little thing to draw our attention somewhere else. And so, Lord, right now I pray you keep our mind on you. I pray for those that are listening over the Facebook or whatever means, and ask you, Lord, that even through that the Holy Spirit, you got it. Because, Lord, we know that without the Holy Spirit, This is all vain and useless, Lord, but with the Holy Spirit, your truth can change our lives, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Again, I'm thankful that you come out today, and if you don't remember anything about today's service or being here, if today's your first time at Thomas Village, I want to tell you it's good to have you, and I'm thankful that you're here, and I hope it's not your last time. But if you've not been told, there's a tear-off sheet inside of the bulletin, and if you would, if all you feel comfortable with is putting your name on that, then put your name on that, and I make you a promise that we'll pray for you on a weekly basis around here. Just fill out as much, and if you fill out enough, I'll come see you. If you put enough info on there, but if you don't want me to come see you, don't put too much, okay? And then just hand it to one of our people at the back door, okay? But also, we want you to know this, that nobody loves you as much as Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And today, if you'll give Him your life, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Amen? All right, well, now we've come to the last day of January 2020. I still ain't getting used to that 2020. I'm a 2020 guy. I guess I'll always be that. But we're coming down to that last Sunday. And as you know, God had kind of put on my heart that we go through a series of how to have a firm and fruitful 2020. And it came from the first study that we had when we talked about standing on the promises and the truth of God's Word. We read out of 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 and following. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of our coming of Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from Him, the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with Him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed unto us as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawneth and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times of the will of man, but holy men of God spake unto us as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And we tried to sum that up in a more modern way of saying things. When people ask us why, or when this year comes and we face those hard times, and there's other things to stand upon, and there's other things to put hope in. I don't know about, they ain't nobody running for president I'm putting any hope on this time. I promise you that. If that's what we relying on, Lord, come now. Amen. I mean, that is where we're at. But this is what we say. Why do we believe the Bible? Because the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the time of other eyewitnesses who report supernatural events. And these supernatural events that took place were fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, declaring that their writings is of a divine origin and not of man's origin. So see, when people ask us why, because they're historical documents of supernatural events that have been witnessed by eyewitnesses. Praise God, that's why. And then the next week, and remember, it had been 240-something days since I'd preached on this topic, all right? I preached on the tithe. And specifically the verse was this, "Then saith He," meaning Jesus, "render unto them what to Caesar which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God." Well, what was He talking about? He was talking about pay your taxes. But at the same time, He was saying that while you pay your taxes monetarily, there's some things that are God's as well. And we look back at the Old Testament and we saw that how even before the Ten Commandments or the law was ever given, that the law of first precedence established that a tenth of our blessings, of our benefits, of our growth belongs to God. And then we also read out of Malachi how that He says if we will give Him a tenth, if we trust Him with a tenth, that He will literally open up the windows of heaven and bless us and meet all of our needs. But then He also says that if we're not willing to trust Him with that tenth, then we're bringing a curse upon ourselves. And think about how far our money could go if we would just trust Him with it and see what He could do with it. Praise God, He can do more than 10 than we can do with 90. I promise you that. And then last week. And if you'll notice, some of these are precepts and some of these are truths. Some of these things that we're to hold fast to and to hold on to, but other things are that we're to implement. That first one, when we studied about the Bible, that's something we're to hold fast to. When things come, we hold fast to the truth that it is historical documents recorded by eyewitnesses during the time of other eyewitnesses of supernatural events that fulfilled prophetic prophecies of the Old Testament, and that their writings are of divine origin and not of man. But then last week, or the week before, we talked about a practice that by applying the truth of the tenth in our life, that we can open up, or we can be in a place where God will open up His blessings. And then last week we looked at the simple verse, or not simple, praise God, it's anything but simple. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. I said it before, and we looked at it, how that there's enough truth and power in that one verse to save all of the world. But as believers, it's time for us to see it more than just a nursery rhyme, more than just a catchy phrase, but we're to hold on to it as an unchanged reality, a truth, a promise, and a peace that we can hold fast to, that if we have a Creator that loves us enough that He was motivated by that love to send His Son to die on the cross and then rise up victorious on it. Now you tell me, if your Creator loves you that much, do you think He's going to let this life or even the next life get the better of you? No, because He's already won the victory, and in the midst of that we can hold fast to that promise. Okay, so today that means what? We've had one that we can hold on to, one that we put into practice, one that we can hold on to, and guess what today's going to be? One to put into practice, yep. One to put into practice. And I pray that today you listen with ears to hear in the way that I believe God gave it to me, but also the way that I intend to preach it. Now, I could have read many, many other scriptures and many other things to show today what the topic is, but if I had a topic for today's message, it would be for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. If you look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's no question that theme 1B was the salvation of all humanity, that He came to die and to take the sins away so that whosoever could come to know Him as Lord and Savior. You say, Brian, what do you mean 1B? Because 1A was to please the Father. 1A, the reason He came was to glorify the Father. Listen at these scriptures, Matthew 19:12-13. But when He heard it, He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. Hold on, I'm reading the wrong scriptures here. I'm already starting on the wrong page. Listen. He says this, Mark 9:37, whoever receives one child in My name receives Me, but whosoever receives Me receives not Me, but Him who sent Me. Luke 4:18, Luke saith, Spirit, the Lord is upon Me because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. John 5:34, and the Father who sent Me hath Himself bore witness of Me. His voice you have heard. It is from you have in a form you have never seen. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but to do the will of Him that has sent Me. You see, we can't make Jesus' life about ourselves. See, then we try to make it humanistic. We make it about humanity. When the fact is that He came to glorify the Father and to honor the Father. Now, the way He came to glorify and to honor the Father was because that the Father loves us, and Jesus loves us enough that He was willing to go to the cross and to die for our sins and to take our penalty and then raise up on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news, the true record of Jesus' ministry, life, death, and victorious resurrection. Yes, it is very close to His heart, and it's always close to Christ's heart, seeing men and women being freed from their sins. Luke chapter 19, verse 9 through 10, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to thine house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." John 3:3, Jesus answering him, meaning Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 6:51 said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And I am the bread that will give life, that will give the life of the world. It's my flesh." Now think about that. The God of all creation, the God whose word keeps the sun in orbit, makes the wind blow and makes the seas rise and fall, that God loves us enough that He came in the flesh, was spit on, mocked, and rejected, was beat upon and whipped and placed on a cross and died. And the Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the children of God. But praise God, He loved us enough that He didn't stay there when they placed Him in a tomb. But the power of the Father and the love that He had for the Father and for humanity brought Him up out of that grave so that today whosoever might be saved. But I want to ask you today, and I want you to think about today, if it was so important to our Creator that men be saved, shouldn't it be just important to us that the message go out? And let me ask you this, how important is that message to you? You could say we've been studying the gospel mindset. We've been studying the gospel mindset in our class, and it talks about all the good stuff, you know? It talks about how Jesus loves us, how He died on the cross to save us, how He rose from the dead from our sins, and now for our sins, and now whosoever believes in Him should not perish and they can be saved. And man, that's a wonderful thing. You know that? The gospel mindset. But let me tell you something. The gospel mindset is about as good as a pew if we're not willing to make the gospel mindset a gospel lifestyle. Does that make sense? That we can believe it, but if we're not telling it, then what good is it? If we're not putting it out there. What I'm saying to you this morning, I know that we have good children's Sunday school program here. That's why I'm pushing it. That's why we're doing this Be One, Win One. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe we have an Awana program that's second to none. I don't think there's one that can hold a candle to our Awana. Our kids club and our teen group have leaders that love those young men and young women in a way that I've not seen it be loved in a long time since I've been a pastor. We have a good Sunday school program, and we're trying to grow that Sunday school program as we speak. But let me ask you this. What are we doing to get people saved? The church is a place for saved people. Now, yes, we want to get the lost in here and we need to invite them. But the church is made up of a group of believers. The first thing I ask anybody when they walk the aisle is, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And as pastor, it's burdened me because people that we walk and live alongside of are standing on the edge of hell's flames, and at any moment it could break loose and they will spend an eternity in hell. You say, "Brian, you're just trying to scare us." No, literally, somebody on this list that I pray for every Tuesday, that we get down on our knees and pray, this week fell and died out of the blue. I got the phone call. You were in there with me on Wednesday night. No, it's been 2 weeks now. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our loved ones are going to be around for us to annoy tomorrow. We're not promised that. I need a greater burden for it. But I promise you, barely a week goes by that I don't ask somebody, at least, are they sure about their salvation and do they know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior? Good thing is I get them pinned up. You say they come to see me and then I can just pin them in a corner and ask them that. They can't go nowhere without asking that question. I want to read you a story. As preparing for this message this week, I didn't do much nuts except lay around the house and read. And I read about a man named Richard Baxter from the 1600s. He was a Puritan minister in a place called Kidderminster, England. Kidderminster was a place, and I quote, that was reckless, ungodly, and contented to stay that way. But Pastor Baxter got a burden for the lost. He preached the gospel. He wrote about the gospel. But more important, Pastor Baxter began to carry the gospel. He created a visitation plan where every Monday and Tuesday, from about 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, he visited families every hour. 20 people every he visited 20 families a week. In the homes, he would talk, he would fellowship, he would cut up. But more importantly, he would tell them about Jesus and he would tell them how much he loved them and then he would have prayer with them. Said over the 14 years that he was there, he was probably in their houses multiple times. But this is what he had to say after 14 years of ministering there. When I came and as I walked along the streets on the Sabbath mornings, you could hear 100 households singing praises in family worship. As when I came there, there was only about one family in the whole street that you could hear singing praises to His name. When I left, there were some streets where there was not even one family that did not worship Him or called Him. What happened there? What happened? Pastor Baxter said, I don't want the people in Kidderminster, England to die and go to hell. And so I'm going to make sure that they hear the gospel. Thomas Village, you want to see something happen here? Then we've got to get to the point that we'll say, I don't want the people in Duffield, Virginia, or in Thomas Village, or in Scott County to die and go to hell. But let me ask you this. Let me tell you. And when I say this, I'm saying this as love. And Lord knows I don't want to preach this message. If you're first time here, I'm sorry. But you just got to deal with it, all right? Well, you could leave, I reckon. But we grew in 2019. We did. We saw many baptisms. We've seen people join the church. We've seen people rededicate their life. And I tell you, I love you and I'm concerned, but we've got a visitation program around here and the only ones that show up is the deacons. We've tried to establish new Sunday school care and outreach programs and from what I know, nothing has been set up yet. We have a theme, win one, be one, but it's yet to be seen. Is it really making a difference? You're saying, you're being mean, preacher. No, I'm just laying it to you today. I'm just being honest with you as pastor of the congregation. We're having a high attendance coming. We'll wait and see what happens there. But I want you to know that with me, and I think you know it about me, it's not about the numbers. It's not about how many people we baptize. It's about seeing lives change. Praise God. If they never come back here and they get a hold of Jesus Christ, gets a hold of them, then praise God, let them go and carry it wherever He wants them to carry it to. But I got 3 points I want to go through real quick with you this morning. For the gospel say, oh, goodness gracious, he's just now getting started. I promise you they ain't going to be long. I promise. I promise. If we're going to see our area changed, we've got to have a profound passion for the gospel. If we're going to see our area changed, we've got to have a profound passion. Look what he says. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we spoke, or we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries the hearts, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Listen to what Paul's saying. I'll put it in it. In basic words, verse 1 there, he's basically saying, God has entrusted me, and we can say this today, me and you. Not only has God entrusted Paul, but he has entrusted me and you with the good news, with the truth about Jesus coming and dying for our sins and resurrecting on the third day. He says, God has entrusted that into me. And because he put it into me, because he took, guess what I did? I spread it. I told people about it. I didn't know what else to do with it, basically what's Paul saying. He said, it was in my life, it came in my life, it changed my life, and all I could do was tell it. And he says, not so that I could please others, but so that I could please God. Look on, in verse 4 he goes on to say, basically he says, and I didn't worry about using fancy words or certain words. Now you know that about me, I don't even know fancy words. And when I try to say them, I screw them up real bad. So praise God, what's the point? He said, I didn't worry about using fancy words. I didn't worry about making people happy. Also, it wasn't about me. You know what it was about? It was about God. It was about God. It was about being a witness. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about being a witness today. I looked up, because remember, I'm a dummy. So I looked up, what does the word witness mean? The word witness means one who has seen and knows. One that gives testimony or essential facts of an event. Now think about this. If you were robbed and somebody came in your house and they took this and they tied you up and they did all that, you would be a witness. And you know what? When the cops got there, you couldn't wait to say, he came in, he had on an orange hat, he tied me up with gray duct tape, and I think he even had a mole on the back of his neck. I mean, everything that, you know why? Because you had experienced it. It had been a fact in your life. And you're going to tell about it. You know what? If you were at the football game, and your team was down with 5 seconds left, and the other team was on the 1-5-yard line getting ready to go in, but all of a sudden, your team was losing, and the team you wanted to lose fumbled that ball, and your team picked it up, and somebody already hollered. They're getting excited about it, ain't they? And it run 95 yards, and they scored, and your team won, and the other team lost. You know what? You'd be able to say, till your dying day, you would say, I was there when the balls. I was there when the balls. Or if you, I was in Rupp Arena the day that the Kentucky ball, whatever they are. It don't matter unless they Bulldogs. Amen. That's all that matters. Georgia Bulldog. How about them dogs? Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if we was losing to Kentucky or Tennessee and we picked up the ball at the 5-yard line and running all the way back, bless you, bottom dollar tomorrow morning, I'm going to spread the witness. Amen. Y'all know that. What if he was at an accident and a drunk driver was supposed to stop at a red light and they didn't stop and they hit somebody and they fatally injured someone? You would, with a grieful heart, stand there and say, I seen what happened. They blatantly ran it. And because of what I saw, I can tell what had happened. You know why I believe a lot of people don't share the gospel and have no passion for the gospel? It's because, see, when you witness about something, you've experienced it. You've seen it. You've felt it. And I believe, and I'm not just talking about other churches, but I believe one of the reasons that many churches in Duffield, Virginia, and Scott County, Virginia, Lee County, Virginia, I believe one of the reasons we don't have a passion for it is because we've never experienced the gospel. You see, here's what happens. When you come in contact with the gospel, it changes you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I truly believe it changes the way you look. I do. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She's seen my driver's license picture before Christ. And she said, I look mean. I know what she meant. She meant I look ugly and mean is what she meant. But she said I look mean. And now she looks at it and she still says, grow your beard. Okay, so that tells you I'm still ugly, but I ain't as mean looking. But you know, there's other people. I've seen people get saved and their whole countenance change. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit moves within you. And praise God, when somebody moves within your house or within your being, you can't remain the same. You have to do things differently. You begin to think differently. You begin to act differently. Why? Because you have come in contact with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then you become passionate about that gospel and you must witness it. That's what Paul's saying. I didn't know what to do. God put it in my hand. What did I do with it? I gave it out, praise God. You see, but we live in the South. We live in the Bible Belt. We live in a place where when you walk out of the Dollar General, somebody said, God bless you. Right? You see, one of the reasons we're not passionate about the gospel is because we've never been changed by the gospel. You know what we've got? We've got comfortable with the gospel. You can tell the stories. You could quote the verses. You can do all that stuff. Your mom and daddy was on the founding board at such and such church. If it wasn't your mom and daddy, it was your great grandpa and them. But there's really no change in your life. You really don't act different. You don't think different. If somebody doesn't believe in Jesus, well, that's no skin off my back. Just let them believe whatever. No thought about them dying and going to hell. You see, before we can ever sit down, I want to tell you right now, some of you too, you've been through the motions. You're familiar with it, but you lay in your bed at night and you wonder, if I died today, would I go to heaven? There's not a surety in your heart. You don't know for sure, but the Bible says that you can know for sure. And I want to tell you something right now, that if you want to know for sure, if you'll come right now, I'll quit preaching this sermon and me and you'll go back and we'll nail it down. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If there's someone right now that needs to know that you're saved, right now is the time you come and let's go see. Because you won't have to take my word for it. You can take His, the Word of God's for it. But you see, for the gospel's sake, we've got to be passionate about the gospel. We've got to be passionate about the gospel. But praise God, if we're going to see our community changed, not only do we have to be passionate about the gospel, but we have to be purposeful in sharing the gospel. We have to be purposeful in sharing the gospel. Look there in verses 3 and 4. It says, for our exhortation was not in deceit or out of uncleanness, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing unto men, but God which trieth our hearts. That was verses, let's go back to 1 and 2. That's where I mean, verses 1 and 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our interest unto you, that it is not in vain, but even after we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. In verse 1, Paul says that he reminds the folks that when he came to Thessalonica, that the power of the gospel came there. It changed people's lives. People got saved. And the same happens here. If we're willing to invite people to come to this church, and when new people come to this church, I tell you one of three things happens. One, when it gets serious, they get up and have to go to the bathroom. Two, they come and do business by themselves with the Lord. Or three, they get saved and come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Or four, they just never come back. Amen. So, we whatever it be. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, we were bold to speak to you the gospel. Now, I want to ask you this. Have any of you ever been walking in downtown Duffield and just tripped over a gold brick? No, I haven't neither. Okay, I was just wondering if I was the only one. How about this? When you went to the food country and you got to sticking the bags of the stuff in your car and you got home, you opened up, you found a whole sack of 50s. Nope. Okay. Anybody? Come on, tell me. Was it on Thursday, Friday? What day did you shop? Tell me. I'll be there that day, all right? You want me to tell you, I ain't never tripped over nothing of much value. Except Amy Gunner, praise God. That's the greatest value I got in my life. Cha-ching, put that one in there. You want me to tell you about the best I've ever done? Amy washed the clothes. I get up next day, put my hands in my pocket, and I find some old wrinkled up, barely seeable white dollar bill. But you know what? That makes my day when I find that dollar bill. You know what I have done in that little change pocket? I reached in there and found a five one time, and I thought I'd hit the lottery. Look at that. I got a $5 bill right there. Woo! You know what? To make money or to be blessed in our life, we've had to put purpose into it. We've had to put effort into it. There comes conflict. There comes contention. There's things that fight against us to try to keep us from doing that. And listen, Paul says the same thing. Look at the words he used. He said, I suffered. I was treated shamefully. Lastly, there at the end, he said, and with much contention. The word contention out of the Webster's 1828 version means to struggle or an effort to hinder, controversy or conflict, to try to hold us back from accomplishing something good. And you know what? Life's full of it. And if you ain't learned that yet, then you ain't lived very long. Job chapter 14, verse 1. My son's been reading this book lately. What does Job 14, chapter 1 say? It says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's going to be tough. And you know what? The devil is always, always going to put something on the outside to try to keep you from sharing the gospel. You know that? He is. It is never... I tell you what, every now and then God just presents that perfect time. You know what I mean? Especially with me being a pastor, I'm in certain places, I catch people at certain times, and I'm just there. I'm in the hospital, they know they're about to die. I mean, that's just one of those times. For most people, it's not an easy thing to do. There's all kind of obstacles that come up in our life on a daily basis to keep us coming from visitation, to keep us from saying, I'll come pick you up on Sunday morning if you want to go to church with us. I'll do whatever it takes to get you under the gospel. There's going to be all kind of stuff. Listen, Paul said he had it. He said, I've been whipped, I was shipwrecked, I was put in jail, they robbed me, they lied on me, they said I was in it for the money. All those outward obstacles come to try to get... And you know what? Praise God. When you stay committed to that you're going to tell the gospel, when you become passionate about letting the news of Jesus Christ go out, guess what? There's going to be some outside conflict that comes in. I can promise you. Some of it's going to be this. Well, I've got issues with my time. I just don't know where I can find it if I can be there at Thursday night at 6 o'clock to be on visitation. You ain't got to do it then. Do it whenever you got time. You know what kids have been? They got baseball. They got football. They got military training. No, I'm cutting up about the military training, but it won't be long before they're doing that as well. They'll be getting them ready. You know what? I'm worried that if I was to tell somebody at work about Jesus, how would I be received and what would the boss people think? What if some people are mean to me? What if they don't like me no more? But you know what? God, Christ has already said that there would be conflict to us trying to share the gospel. We love Philippians chapter 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Ain't that a wonderful verse? And we all want to know His resurrection. But listen to what it goes on to say, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, being like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, but for us today, I think it's more, especially as American easy does it type Christians, I think it's less of outward conflict and strife. I think it's more inward. I think sometimes it boils down to that we're just scaredy cats. Not trying to be mean, I'm just saying it. We think about stuff like this. Well, if I was to tell them about Jesus, then they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. They're going to think I'm a holy roller. Well, guess what? Jesus was a freak for you, and He rolled a stone away for you. But don't we think that? We think stuff like this. That's a good friend. And I don't want to do anything to put tension in that friendship or to push them away because we've had such a good friendship for so long. Isn't it worth causing a little bit of tension here to have them in eternity forever? Here's the one that really gets me, and it still gets me. Past failures and past sins. I'll be honest with you. I've been honest to my boy to a fault some lately. But you know what? There'll be times I'll get down on my knees and I'll be praying and I'll feel like I'm getting so close to the Lord, you know. And you can feel His Spirit. And then something will hit my mind. Right in that moment. And it just feels like it robs me of His presence. But you know what that is? That's the flesh. It's an enemy. And it works in tune with the devil. Because you know what? All those things, my mind may not forget them, but praise God, He says, I'll remember them no more. They have no more weight in mine in your relationship. I have covered them. And you know what? Your old friends and your old enemies and all those that you're worried about, that you can tell them the same thing. I know I was that. I know I did that. But praise God, He's forgiven my sins. And today, if you're willing, He'll forgive yours as well. Then there's others. I just don't think I can do it right. You know, the good thing about a testimony is it's your testimony. You know that? And you can't do it wrong. Praise God, all you got to do is say what He did to you. And then if you've got a problem, call me. Call one of the deacons. We'll talk with you, do whatever, meet you wherever, whatever. But remember, it's not about what they say. It's the heart you say it with. I broke your rules. I'm sorry. I should die and go to hell, but you died so I wouldn't have to. Will you save me today? Let me tell you, if you say that with a sincere heart, that's better than any televangelist quoting, laying this and that on sending them some prayer cloths and all this stuff. It'll do you better than that any day. We must make it our purpose to share the gospel. And I just wonder right now, is that our priority? Are we passionate about it? Is it a priority about it? Not just maintaining the status quo. Not just taking care of what we have. And we need to be. Praise God. God has given us a lot. But expanding our borders and going further. And then lastly, the last part of verse 4 through verse 6, and we're going to wrap it up. We need to have a personal desire to please God. Have you ever thought about that? That when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you please your Creator. When you tell others about Jesus, listen to what it says here. Not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our heart. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. For being burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Here Paul lays out certain things that people will accuse him of why he would preach the gospel. You ain't preaching it because you love Jesus. You ain't preaching it because you want to preach peace people say. He's saying, you're preaching it because you want to please people. You just want to make them happy. You want to do all this. From my opinion, from what I found, when you go to talking about heaven and hell and eternity, it don't matter what their denomination is. Most of them get uncomfortable and tell you, shut up, I'd rather not. That's personal stuff. I don't talk about that with people. That's what they tell you. So, pleasing people. Notice what he says, I didn't do it for flattering words. And notice what he says. He says, a cloak of covetousness. See, what happened in those days, philosophers, teachers, and preachers would come to town and they would preach their point of view, or they would tell their worldview and their philosophies. And what would happen is sometimes the rich people, they would like what they were hearing or whatever. And so what they would do is they would take that individual, that philosopher, that teacher, they would take them on as their quote-unquote life coach. And they would keep them around, and that would be their advisors. And so what some people were saying to him is that you're just in this thing to be out for the money. You're just in this to see what you can get out of it. Matter of fact, Paul goes on to tell him, hey, I tell you what, I've preached without money. And I can give you the scripture, but for time's sake, I ain't. But he says, I can do it without money. And I also want you to know, Thomas Village, you take very good care of me, praise God. And I've never asked you for a dime, and I'll never ask you for a dime. But notice what he says, I don't do it for the glory of men or to be burdensome. Paul had served in many places. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, I will read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. Or did I commit a sin, humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? Paul says, I didn't do it. There's many reasons why people are saying I might have did it, but the main two reasons Paul did it was this, out of the love and obedience for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second reason, for the love and the burden that he had for dying souls. You remember this commandment. You remember when they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, he said this, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and all that. Remember, that's number one. And number one, two was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus also said this in John 14, 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we think about obeying God, when we think about reading the Bible and don't doing this and not doing that, you know, and walking the ten, not doing the Ten Commandments and all that. That's not salvation. That's religion. That is work salvation. But let me ask you this. Remember, he said this. He said, "Love God with all you are." And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want you to think about this. If we have a God in heaven that loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us and to rise up on the third day, what better way than to show our love for him than to carry that message to those who haven't received it yet? Is there any greater thing that we could do to show our love for God than to carry? And you know that was his commandments. Remember, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 7, and he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel, proclaim that good news to all of creation. Whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. Now, some people want to say, well, that wasn't written to us. That was written in the context of the apostles and the disciples. And it was, well, guess what? You and I are the disciples today. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a follower of one's teaching, philosophies, and instructions and worldview. We are his modern disciples. And it's up to us to carry the gospel. And I could read you so, so much more of what Jesus said. But then in the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 20, it says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And praise God, evangelism of the gospel is not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says this, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. You see, evangelism is the thing to carry the word to those that are out there. Well, do we know who are going to be saved? No. Can we make anybody be saved? No. All we're supposed to do is tell them about the gospel. And so what I want to close, and I want to close with verse 12. It said that you will walk worthy of God who hath called you to his kingdom and glory. This one sounded a little bit familiar to me, so I got out my version, the RBGV. That's the Randall Brown Gunner version, in case you've never read it. You can't have a copy of it either, okay? But I read it and tried to put it in a way that I could understand it. And it's basically he's saying, so that you live a life that displays the teachings and the values of God. Because He is the one that called you to be a part of His family and to have His eternal joy. So that you live a life that displays the values and the teachings of God. That you will walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory, or because He is the one that has called you to be a part of His family and His eternal joy. Listen at this as we get ready for our altar call. When we purposefully, these are the three points. I'm just going to list them off to you real quick. This is the invitation. When we have a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we display the mind of Christ because He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. When we purposefully choose to go past the conflict to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, of Paul, of Peter, and many other unnamed believers that said, it's worth it. And when we recognize that sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is being obedient and pleasing to God, then we're fulfilling the role that we've been created for. It also reminded me of a verse. You know, we've been talking about that win one, be one. Make a difference. Listen up, Thessalonians 2:12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Now listen to Colossians 1:10. Listen what it says. As so to walk a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to think about some things right now. Not because I've preached them, but pray because they're a part of the gospel. One, the gospel, the true record of Christ Jesus, life and ministry, sacrificial death, and resurrection. Have you been changed by the gospel? Have you been made a new person? Not that you're perfect, but that you think different. You live different. You want different. Or have you just become comfortable with the gospel? Grandma and grandpa had mom and daddy in church. Mama and daddy had me in church. It was just a part of what we did that at a certain age you walked the aisle, you said a prayer, you got baptized, all that. That's not what makes you saved. Has there been a point in time where you recognize that you have broken God's laws, that you've rebelled against Him, and that you deserve to die and go to hell? But that the Creator came down and said, I love them enough. Specifically, He said, I love you enough to take the punishment so that they can have my relationship with the Creator. If you've never done that, I invite you right now to come. Please come. Please come. Number two is this. Are you letting conflicts and contentions, outward or inward, keep you from being a sharer of the gospel? I just want to ask you right now, when is the last time that you really focused in on someone and tried to make sure they understood the gospel? When's the last time? Or have we let, since then, have we let inner turmoil and outward conflict keep us from sharing the gospel? That's all we're called to do. That's all the Bible tells us to do, is to share it. And lastly, it's this. Don't you want to be one that is pleasing unto the Lord? Think about it. He's the one that called you. Nobody would be saved unless He called us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that keeps us. And He's the one that has told us to carry His gospel. He said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel men to come in so that my house may be full. Let's stand as we open up the altar. Won't you come today? Won't you come? Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you want to come and talk. People's already coming. Maybe you need to come and pray over a lost loved one. Like I said, there was one not 2 weeks ago that we prayed for 3 years that passed away. And unless something changed, they plunged headlong into hell. But people's coming. If you need to be seated, you be seated. Maybe today you want to recommit your life. Maybe you want to come and just say, I'm not backslidden or anything like that. But today I want to come and I want to be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just come forward and say, I'm going to tell it when I can. I'm going to tell it where I can. I'm going to tell it no matter what. Maybe today you'd like to come and say, I need to be a member of this church. There's a place for me here. There's a place that God wants me to be. I know not everybody's going to be out there being Billy Graham's. I recognize that. But I can be in here praying for somebody who is. I can be in here doing something. Whatever your need is, maybe you just got something I ain't even mentioned and you want to pray about it today. I invite you to come and let me pray with you, all right?